The following podcast was recorded on Tuesday, March 19th, 2024, featuring Jim Bianco of Bianco Research. To hear the podcast in real time, you can sign up for a free trial at arborresearch.com or biancoresearch.com, or by emailing Gus Handler directly at gus.handler@arborresearch.com. You can also call Arbor Research and Trading at 1-800-606-1872. Thanks for your time and enjoy the podcast. Welcome everyone to the latest edition of Talking Data. I'm your host, Kristen Radish with Arbor Research and Trading, joined today by our commentator, Jim Bianco of Bianco Research. Welcome, Jim.
Thanks for having me.
Today, Jim discusses how the economy has changed after COVID and how it is unique to the US. Jim, every recession or financial crisis changes an economy. And after the 2020 COVID shutdown and restart, it's been no different. So what's changed this time?
Yes, and that is an important point that everybody should remember, that things do change and change does not mean worse. And what has really changed for this economy is two things. Well, one overarching thing, and that is spending. We are spending a lot more money than we've ever have before. And that spending comes in two forms. So if we look at the first chart, it shows the budget deficit. The top panel in red, in the line, is the budget deficit. As of the end of February, it was $1.8 trillion. And in the bottom, it shows it as a percent of GDP, which might be the better metric to look at 6.4% of GDP. So for those that are not familiar, all the government spending, taxes pay for all of it but $1.8 trillion, or roughly around 70% of it is paid by taxes and 30% of it is borrowed money, which is what the deficit is. But at 6.4%, that number is currently larger than any other number other than COVID, except for the peak of the Great Recession in 2009. In other words, what I'm trying to say is the government is spending money now in terms of the budget deficit. And remember, government spending is GDP. They're 20 to 25% of the economy. When they run bigger budget deficits, they're spending more money. And they're spending money now like they did in the past when they were panicking that the US was in a recession to try and pull it out of a recession. So I like to say there alone, full stop this chart, there alone, we could just say, we're not gonna have a soft landing if the government is spending this level of money. And what is that level of money? You could see that on the next chart. So this basically just shows you the level of spending is a nominal GDP. So that this is actually about $7 trillion or $6.5 trillion of government spending. It is currently 22% of GDP. And you can see while it peaked at 33% in March of 21, that was all of the stimulus money and the COVID spending to try and keep the economy afloat. But look at where 22% compares. Other than September of 09 at 24%, this is higher than we've ever seen, even when that line jumps during recessions. So spending is what's changed. The first part of that spending that has changed has been government spending. They are spending enormous sums of money, borrowing enormous sums of money, and that will just stimulate and stimulate and stimulate the economy. And that alone will keep it from, you know, seeing some kind of a downturn.
And since the lockdown, consumer spending has boomed. What are consumers spending all their money on?
Yeah, and that's the second part. You're right, is consumer spending is boom. So if we go to the next chart, let's talk about how we measure it. So we could break down GDP into personal consumption. GDP, gross domestic product, is how much economic activity did we have during the year or the quarter or whatever period we're measuring. What percentage of that economic activity was us, personal consumption, buying things? How much of it was business investment, inventories, trade, government? These are other measures. But far and away, the largest category is personal consumption. Now, let me start with the blue line. From 2010 to 2020, the economy was about 67% personal consumption. So two-thirds of the economy is us buying things. But then you could see the red line since 22. Let's leave 20 to 22 off because that was shutdown, restart, kind of, you know, getting our sea legs. We've seen a markedly higher level of spending, 69.3%, or about 1.7% more spending than we've seen. What are we spending it on? The next chart. The next chart basically shows you personal consumption of goods, stuff, things. We're buying more stuff, if you will. You could see that going into the COVID, we were spending about 10 or 11% of the economy on goods or stuff. That jumped to about 13% or a 30% rise, but it never really got back down anywhere near the pre-COVID levels or even the trend in pre-COVID. And you can see that at 12%, it's starting back up. Now, that's goods. If we go to the next chart shows you services. What are we spending on services? Now, we spend most of our money on services. You know, goods and services can be kind of a bit of a misnomer. You know, you and me buy an airline ticket, that's a service. But for Boeing, that's a good that they sell an airplane, hopefully one that doesn't have parts fall off when it's flying through the air. And that's a good for them, but it's a service for us. So you can see that we've been in a downtrend in our service purchases for a number of years. Then the bottom dropped out during COVID, of course, because we locked down and you couldn't go out and buy services, but it kind of rebounded back to, if you can imagine a trend line through that, we're back on trend with services where we were pre-COVID. So we're buying as many services as we did pre-COVID, considering the downtrend, we're back on that trend, but we're clearly above the trend with goods. So coming out of COVID, we've spent more money. Not only the government is spending more money, but we are buying more stuff, and stuff being the optimal word, things, and we're still in trend with services. Now, the final chart in this section, where is that money coming from to buy all of these things? We're spending more. Now, this shows the personal savings rate. Now, the personal savings rate is a simple calculation. It is what you make less what you spend, whatever's left over savings. So it doesn't include that Zillow said your house went up. It doesn't include that your brokerage statement said that your stocks went up or down. That's not included in it. It's what you make less what you spend. The blue line from 2010 to 2020, we were saving 6%. We were spending 94 cents of every dollar we made, saving 6% of it. But since 22, the red line, that's gone from 6% down to 4%. So I said that spending consumption went from 67 to 69, or actually up 1.7%. How did we get there? We're saving 2% less. And so that pretty much accounts for it. In other words, we are intentionally spending more money. Now, why are we doing that? As you said at the top, every recession, every financial crisis, things change. Something changed this one. We come out of it and we're spending more money, both the government and people. Why? Well, I don't have an exact answer. We may not have an exact answer for years, but my best guess is it is a natural reaction to what happened in 2020. But to answer that, let me back up to 2008. 2008, we had a financial crisis. We were all worried we were going to be poor, to be simple about it, because the financial markets were collapsing. Then they stopped collapsing and they started to recover. 2010, 2011, 2012, the stock market went up. After the big home price decline, they started to recover. We would look at our Zillow estimates. We would look at our brokerage statements. We would see, hey, we made more money, or our net worth went up this month versus last month. What did we do about it in 2010, 11, and 12? Nothing. We felt good about that we had a bigger net worth, a bigger emergency savings level, a bigger pile of money in the bank. And it gave us comfort, gave us confidence. That's all we needed from that. But then in 2020, the bottom dropped out and the government mailed people not just money, but thousands and thousands of dollars. So coming out of that, I think that they've taken the hint. I don't need to save as much. I can go to Italy. I can buy a new car. I can pay for some service, buy an airplane ticket, and a Boeing can sell a plane that doesn't have parts to fall off of it. Hopefully doesn't have parts to fall off of it. And that will you know, continue. As a Wall Street economist once talking about this increased consumer spending, he said, he rhetorically asked, what are they going to do when they're 62 if they keep spending like this and don't save? And my muttered answer to myself was, worry about it when they're 61 is what they're going to do. But if they're 47, they're going to enjoy their life. They're going to do certain things. Well, what if there's another crisis? We learned from the last crisis, you don't need to save. Just take a slow walk to the mailbox. There'll be a big check in the mailbox to take care of you if there's another downturn. And that's why we're spending more money. And the combination of this spending keeps the economy strong. And since we're buying more services and goods and not just locking it away in a brokerage statement saying, please make that number go up in the brokerage statement, it's putting upward pressure on inflation and it's putting upward pressure on the economy as well. And this is where I think economists are really struggling, is to understand that we've got this newfound level of propensity to spend that we didn't have before.
How does the U.S. compare to the rest of the world?
In a simple answer, it's very unique. So if we go to the next chart shows, this is from the Organization of Cooperation and Development, the OECD. They take the data from all the developed countries in the world, like 30 or 40 of them, and harmonize it. So you can kind of compare Canada to Great Britain to the U.S. Because otherwise, if you go to the Commerce Department in the U.S. and Statistics Canada, you know, they're going to give you a GDP number, but they're calculated a little differently. So the OECD tries to, you know, smooth out those differences so that they're on the same footing. So this is quarterly GDP. The black line is, or the black bar is the U.S. And then there's some other countries where you see nothing. That was a zero. So let's look at the September quarter, which is the third quarter, the December quarter, which is the fourth quarter. Clearly the black line, or the black bar, excuse me, is the U.S. It was growing faster, not only growing faster than everybody else, but what you'll notice is those are all negative bars. The green is Japan. The third and fourth quarters were negative, two consecutive negative quarters, the technical definition of a recession. The purple is the UK, two consecutive negative quarters, the definition of a recession. Germany is in yellow. That was zero in the third quarter, negative in the fourth quarter, very close to recession. And then you've got the Eurozone in there too. And the Eurozone basically printed two negative or two zero quarters in a row. Not only is everybody else contracting, but the U.S. is growing, but the U.S. is growing way faster than everybody else has been growing. And why? Because we're spending. Coming out of the recession, we decided we're going to spend money. We got mailed money to us, and that changed our attitude. Well, didn't they mail money to people in Europe and in Japan and in Australia? Yeah, but they didn't respond to it like we did. Maybe because they're more socialistic and they're kind of used to it, and it didn't really shock them that the government mailed them money, I'm guessing. But whatever the answer is, we responded by spending more, and they responded by not. And so if you go to the next chart, this is an estimate of the 2024 growth rate. So Bloomberg has 70 odd economists, Wall Street economists, asset manager economists, and they ask them, they ask them a whole dozens of questions. One of the questions they ask them is, what is your 2024 GDP forecast? And they, whenever they update it, they kind of literally type it in the to Bloomberg and say, here's the update. So every day you see that there's always changes because one or two or some of those economists are changing their update. The black line is the estimate for growth in the U.S. in 2024. The estimate, one quarter of the way through the year, by Wall Street economists for growth in the U.S. in 2024. And all the other colored lines are Japan, Canada, the Eurozone, United Kingdom, and Germany. Everybody else is kind of trending lower, and we're breaking away and going up. The old Sesame Street thing, one of these things doesn't look like the other, and that is the U.S. So economists may be struggling with this idea that the U.S. is are we spending more? Why are we spending more? You know, but the reality is they understand that our numbers are coming in much stronger and out of sync with the rest of the world, and we're growing a lot harder. And yes, they're starting to understand that that is coming from spending, because if we go to the next chart basically shows the same thing, but now they ask consumption. So for the U.S., that's consumer spending, the growth rate that you expected from the previous year, from 2024, and it's either consumption or retail sales in the case of Japan. Again, the consumption numbers for the US are going up and up and up, but everybody else is going down and down. Now, economists will scoff, oh, but this can't last. They'll run out of money. And you're right, it can't last. But this, how long will it last? This entire cycle. This cycle will be, will the hallmark of this cycle, this recovery, will be people spending money, spending more than they did the previous cycle. Will they go too far? Yes. Will it create a recession? Maybe, probably. When? When the cycle ends. We will continue to see spending, and then we'll go too far, and then we'll have a recession. Now, maybe that's in 2 quarters, or maybe that's in 7 years. But when that happens, then we have another recession. Maybe we have a bear market in stocks. And then whatever stimulus or inputs we get, we change again. And then coming into the next cycle, something different happens. And the reason I say it that way is your natural reaction is, yeah, we're spending too much. We'll overspend. We'll get over our skis. Stick with the metaphor. We'll do a face plant. And then in the next recession, we'll spend less. Yeah, that's a possible way. Or we'll spend too much. We'll get over our skis. And then the government will pay me $10,000 instead of $4,000. And in the next one, my savings rate will go to zero. I mean, I could literally make $1 million a year and live paycheck to paycheck because the government mails me obscene amounts of money. Or, you know, maybe they don't do that. But whatever the stimulus is that causes the next downturn, we will change again. So what's going on here? The U.S., we had a shutdown restart. The U.S. is spending more. We're running down our savings rate to buy more things, still trend on services. The government is doing the same thing. They're spending like it's the middle of a recession because and the combination is keeping our economy strong. Economists keep upgrading our economy seemingly every day. The rest of the world did not have that response coming out of COVID. They're seeing their numbers flag. They're seeing their consumption numbers flag as well too. And that's why we're breaking away. And that's why inflation is still a problem, and the no landing still seems to be an issue or on the table for the US, and possibly why the Fed will continue to refrain from cutting interest rates anytime soon. And the last thought for you is, there's a lot of people talking about a recession. If we don't cut rates, we're gonna have a recession, or that, you know, we're gonna have a soft landing, or the economy's gonna run into trouble. And they're using all of these models that are projecting all of this. Their models are right for everywhere else but the US. And the reason I say that is because I don't think what they've inputted into their models, Anna Wong, she's a very good economist at Bloomberg. She's got a model on the economy. Since October of 2022, it has said 100% chance of a recession in 12 months. Now, that's been 17 months. That 100% chance in 12 months we'll have a recession. What is that model missing? Throw in 2% more consumption. Throw in 6% government spending, and I'll bet your model wouldn't be at 100% recession. But since the rest of the world isn't spending like that, that model is actually kind of accurate for everybody else. It's just not accurate for us. That's what's changed. That's why I've been arguing inflation will stay sticky. We'll have a no landing. The Fed's not going to cut rates with all of this. When's this going to end? The next recession. And then it will change again.
Jim, thank you for your thoughts today. And thank you, everyone, for joining us. If you have any questions on Arbor Research, Bianco Research, or Arbor Data Science, you can contact us by emailing Gus Handler at gus.handler@arborresearch.com. Thanks again, and have a great day.